New Brunswick Energy Utility NB Power recently submitted an application to the New Brunswick Energy and Utilities Board for a 4.75% rate increase, which will be effective from next month. This follows increases in rates of around 21% since 2021. The Human Development Council, the HDC, acting as an intervener for low-income ratepayers in the Energy Board's review, this week produced a report on energy poverty in the province. The report showed that a quarter of New Brunswick households were living in energy poverty in 2025. Local 107.3 FM spoke with the HDC's social researcher Heather Atchison and data analyst and research coordinator Liam Fisher about the report, their findings and the recommendations the report proposes.
So NB Power has applied for another 4.75% increase in electricity costs for residential ratepayers. And in order to get those approved, they have to go through the Energy and Utilities Board. So what the HDC is doing is acting as an intervener on behalf of low-income residential ratepayers. So this report is specifically on affordability, especially energy affordability for low-income households, and it's been submitted as evidence to the Energy and Utilities Board as part of the hearing. Energy poverty, the way we define it is based on energy cost burden. So if a household or family spends more than 6% of their after-tax income on electricity, that is defined as a household being in energy poverty. So for households relying only on electricity, we actually rank second highest in Canada as a province, with Newfoundland and Labrador only slightly above us as far as our energy poverty rate goes.
Energy poverty is sort of like a subset of poverty overall, and so when people are experiencing energy poverty, what that means is that they don't have the financial resources to meet their basic needs when it comes to energy. They don't have the resources to heat their homes, fuel their cars, different things like that. And all of that, when you can't meet your basic needs, that has real devastating impacts on kind of you as an individual and also as a family unit. So it's cause for concern as well, and when we see these rising costs that we're facing here in New Brunswick, it's putting more and more strain on households.
Are there indirect, perhaps, effects that it has when people are unable to properly heat their houses or properly use the electricity they need, basically, to live?
Yes, absolutely. It's all of these things can lead to health issues and just impact overall well-being. Oftentimes, you know, if people are living with disabilities and they have apparatuses that require energy, if you're not able to access that means that you're having to go without the equipment that you need for survival. So that's a pretty serious thing.
The result of being in energy poverty a lot of the time is people can't pay their bills. And I mean, disconnection seems to be an increasing issue. How many New Brunswickers are kind of living without power?
The number of disconnections varies year to year. The lowest was actually in 2021, when only 736 people were disconnected. 2022, that jumped back up once some supports were removed, to 2,435. And then the highest year since 2021 was in 2025, at 4,297 households having their power disconnected in New Brunswick.
Something that we have recommended in the report is for strengthened consumer protections, things like a permanent winter disconnection program. We have something like that now where people's energy can't be cut off in the winter, but then that means that when the weather warms up, people have more trouble down the road because there are arrears that they still have to deal with and different things like that. We also advocate for more flexible repayment options when it comes to paying back those arrears, and even arrears forgiveness mechanisms when household incomes are inadequate. In our report, we have kind of this pyramid, which we have modeled after a pyramid that came out of Ontario, created by the Low Income Energy Network. And it shows like different aspects of what a comprehensive energy poverty strategy looks like. So the first little section is energy conservation and efficiency. We do have programs around that in New Brunswick. We have some around consumer protection and education, giving people more knowledge about how to reduce their energy consumption and different things like that. There's emergency assistance measures when people are experiencing financial hardship and they're not able to pay their bills. We have some programs in place for that, but what's missing is a low income rate, affordability program, and that's something that we think would be really important. What we see for that would be like a monthly bill reduction credit or a percentage of income payment plan that would ensure that people's energy costs remain affordable for those in low income. There is a program like that in Ontario, and we've seen its effectiveness over there. We also would like to see expanded target efficiency programs for renters and low-income households, recognizing that renters experience a lot of energy poverty-related challenges if they're living in older buildings that are harder to heat and different things like that. And then also we'd like to see the creation of an independent community-led energy poverty coalition that would bring together utilities, government, community organizations, municipalities, and people with lived experience to co-design solutions and track progress over time when it comes to energy poverty.
I did want to kind of focus a little bit on St. John. We're in a slightly unusual position with St. John Energy as opposed to NB Power. How did St. John appear to be affected kind of in comparison to the rest of the province?
I actually don't have any data to provide you right now on St. John's rate compared to the rest of the province. However, we do a bit of a neighborhood analysis of energy poverty rates. And we find that the highest concentrations across the province typically exist in two different types of areas. One is lower income rural neighborhoods, and on the other one is what would be typically classified as lower income priority neighborhoods within urban centers. And we just acknowledge that these populations likely experience energy poverty differently. Certainly, St. John would have similar challenges to other places in that energy poverty is concentrated in certain neighborhoods and things like that.
Without interventions such as the measures you're suggesting, I mean, is this likely to continue to become more and more of an issue as time goes on?
Yeah, so a trend we've been seeing recently is electricity costs simply increasing faster than family incomes. And in that case, the math just doesn't work. As electricity costs increase faster than people's incomes are able to keep up, budgets are going to be squeezed, people are going to have to make really difficult choices. So yeah, that formula can be corrected in a couple ways. Either costs can go down or incomes can go up. And incomes simply aren't increasing. And so that has to be rectified. And the proposal in this report is a low-income energy rebate. It's targeted specifically at low-income households to alleviate the stress on those for whom these rate increases are impacting the most.
It's one thing for us to present the data, but it's another to hear about how energy costs are directly affecting folks. So when people ask me, what does this really mean? It's like I look to the lived experience to tell me how it really shows up in people's lives.
The report can be found on the Human Development Council website, sjhdc.ca. If you have a tip, an idea, or a story you think the community should hear about, you can contact Local 107.3 FM at iona@cfmh.ca. This is Iona Co for Local 107.3 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.